You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
Today we're going to look at the story of a king in the Bible. That king is King Josiah. Okay, we're going to look at his life. And King Josiah lived in a time wherein it's so bad and really it has gone in a spiritual and moral decline. Lolo po ni King Josiah, si King Manasseh. King Manasseh, if you're not aware, is, if not, the most wicked king in the Bible. He has done many evil things that the Bible recorded. Part of that is sacrificing his own son to a demi-demonic god. Clearly has no regard for the next generation. He put up witches, temples, pagan worship practices. He brought the whole nation to a spiritual decline, a moral decline, immorality left and right. And Manasseh's son, which is also Josiah's father, is also as bad as Manasseh. And the whole nation of Israel were far from God. We're against God. And they're living in a time where it's very immoral and very evil. And you know what? For some of us, that's the world that we live in. Pag nanood po tayo ng TV, when we look at it, we would hear of some immoral teleserye and that. And when we go outside or we do our Facebook scrolling, we would see students doing this crazy, stupid stuff. And maybe for some of us, sinasabi natin, grabe, may pag-asa pa ba yung nation natin? Grabe, may pag-asa pa ba yung bayan natin? Ganyan na ba talaga yung mga kabataan? And the question is there still hope? Kung ganyan yung nakikita ko sa TV, if that is what I see in my Facebook feed, or when I walk down the street, is there still hope? Yung mga youth po kasi, eventually, yung magiging leader ng mga anak nyo, na anak natin. The question, is there still hope? For the world outside, they would say, wala na, ganyan na talaga yan. Lipat na lang tayo ibang bansa. But I'm here to tell you this, that is not true. There is hope. There is hope. And we as a movement, Victory, that's the reason why we started this. Because we believe in the future leaders of our society. Victory started when Pastor Steve, along with a group of missionaries, came here 1984 in a time of government turmoil. Ang daming nangyayari sa government nun. He could have started a church in somewhere in the business centers. But they believe in the vision of honoring God and making disciples in the future leaders of our society. That's why he went straight to the center of U-Belt. Walang pera yung mga estudyante, magulo yung lugar, ang daming nangyayari. And when we go here every Sunday, we see the bright lights, the cold aircon, the comfortable seats, the handsome pastors. Yan, handsome po ba? Okay. But really, when we started, we didn't start off like that. We started in a basement in Tandem Cinema. Low ceiling, as you could see. May tubo. Right on top of our center back then is a CR. So while they were worshiping, may tumutulo. You don't want to know what it is. That's how we started. We started with around 150 students. This place is even bigger than Victory 34 years back then. How could we, 150 students, no money, become like this? We just have this passion and faith to honor God and make disciples. We didn't lose hope. Ever since we were there preaching the gospel, we're always declaring that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Ever since, our model is to make disciples through Victory groups or life groups. When we go to the campuses and we share to them the love of God through discipleship groups. We go to the campuses and we preach the gospel because we believe that if we change the campus, we change the world. That is what we believe in. The real question is, what do you see? What do you see? We're going to look at story of Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34 verse 1. It says here, Josiah was 8 years old. Can you say 8? 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Grabe, 8 years old. Naalala niyo po ba kung nung ginagawa niyo na 8 years old pa lang kayo? Ako po nun, nanonood pa ata ako ang TV nun eh. O higising, whatever it is. But it, for Josiah, when he was 8, he was appointed as a king. What could an 8-year-old do? When we go to our kids' church, and sometimes I drop by, and I see some of your kids, they're so cute. Okay? Ang cute pa ng mga anak natin. We go there, and it's easy to see, wow, there's hope. When we go there, and we see the kids there, and they're having fun, worshiping Jesus, and that's good. But what happens when we look at other kids outside the church? Outside our centers. When we look at them and they're all dirty and some of them using drugs or begging money, how do we see them? What do we see? When we go to high school campuses, how do they look like in our eyes? Sila yung cause ng traffic? Sila yung maraming ginagawang mga bagay na pasaway? What could we see? Could there be hope for people like this? Josiah, 8-year-old king, what could he do? Ironically, in the Bible, verse 2, it says here, this 8-year-old did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. He did not turn to the left or to the right, to the right hand or to the left. Manasseh, his grandfather, a great king, but a great king in a negative way. His father, an evil king. And here was Josiah, 8 years old. And the Bible says he was one of the greatest king who lived. He walked and followed the ways of the Lord. And this is what we're going to look at. Josiah became a game changer. The question is, how did Josiah become a game changer? And how can we produce more game changers and world changers? Who among you here, you want to see more world changers in our society? That's what we're going to discuss right now. Can we just bow down our heads right now and pray? Father, I pray that you would speak to us right now. Open our hearts. May we hear your word. Lord, may we have a burden to reach out the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I start reading the text, I want to say that this message is not just for the young people. It applies to all of us, regardless of our season. And all of us here, can we say all? All of us here, we have a part to play. Let's read. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3. It says here, "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, by this time he's around 16 to 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and the metal images." What we could see here, the first reason that Josiah became a world changer is that he had personal devotion. God isn't just a concept. Jesus and Christianity is not just a religion or a subject in school. For him, it is a relationship. It is part of him. It is integral to his everything. He had this conviction. He made a decision. Josiah decided that God is personal for him and he is real. And for all of us here, especially to the students, choose now whom you will believe. Choose now who is your God. All of us here, nakakita na tayo dito ng matataas na mga skyscrapers, condominiums, and some of us, we may be living there. But have you seen this part before it gets built up like that? Diba may mga harang yan na yero? And I call this the yero face. Or galvanized steel face. So usually before a building grows up that tall, may yero muna yan. Tama ba ako? So sometimes we pass by it, it's the cause of traffic, may truck na papasok, may lumalabas na tubig, may mga construction worker. But for some time, you won't see anything beyond this yero. And then, actually, when you take a peek behind that, you would see that behind that is a deep hole wherein we build, we put cement, we dig, we put the right foundation, and then after we do that, we put the right structure until it becomes a great building. Why am I saying this? For the students that we have, and if you're a student also, this is for you. Your life right now is like that. You are in that yero phase. And as a Christian, it's the best time to put on the right foundation. It's the best time to put on the right essential things that will help us build, help us in our lives. The problem is, when we start comparing our lives to others, naka-yero face ka, parang walang nangyari sa mga anak natin. And we start comparing to other people, other students who doesn't have Jesus in their life. Bakit sila maayos naman? Bakit sila parang okay naman yung buhay nila and all? And when you start to see that, ito may tori na, may house na, pero kami naka-yero face pa. But after 10, 20 years, when challenges come, after building this house from this space, this one would topple down. Why? Because we built the right way. Jesus was there. And let me encourage all of us here. Choose right now. Is Jesus Christ personal for you? Is He real? 2 Kings 22, verse 8. It says here, in Hilkiah, the high priest said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. You see, what happened during Manasseh's time is that he lost the Bible. Imagine mo na wala yung word ni God. Did you know that problems come when we disregard the word in our lives? Problems happen when we ditch the word away. And that's what happened. He put the word of God aside. But when Josiah discovered the book and when it was read to him, since it was personal to him, he tore his clothes in anger, in deep sadness. Why? Kasi na-offend ko si God. Our whole nation is in sin. And we have offended the holy God, a personal God, a God who loves me and whom I love. It was personal to him. For all of us here, this word needs to be personal to us. If it is regarded, we should be in deep sadness as well. If it is disobeyed, we should be crying out, Lord, I'm sorry I disobeyed you. Do not neglect this. This is where the problem starts. When we remove the word of God. 2 Kings 22, verse 12. And he goes on. The king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Akbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the secretary and Isaiah the king's servant saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me and go for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book according to all that is written concerning us. It was personal to him and he didn't let the circumstances, his ugly family background define who he is. He let the word shape him. Minsan po kasi yun yung rason natin. Eh, mahirap lang kami. Eh, hindi okay si mami, hindi okay si papa eh. Eh, broken family kami. Eh, yung school ko, ganun eh. Eh, yung workplace ko, ganyan eh. But Josiah was saying, I'm not letting these things define and shape who I am. I'm not letting culture or my family background or my educational status define who I am. I am letting the Word of God say who I am. I want to hear the Word of God. You see, his faith, it was very personal. Sino po sa inyo dito may kapatid po kayo? Kapatid, has it ever happened that your sibling took something, hiniram niya yung gamit mo na hindi nagpapaalam? Diba usually away po yun afterwards? Kasi gamit mo yun eh. It was personal for you. Lalo na pag same gender, lalaki-lalaki, babae-babae. Hiniram mo na naman yung sapatos ko. Okay? Ginamit mo na naman yung toothbrush ko. Well, it was personal. How much more our faith? That's my God you're talking about. That's my Savior that you're talking about. It's personal. Josiah and his relationship and devotion to God was personal, but it didn't stop there. He knew that he needs to step up. That's why he stepped up to leadership. That's the second way that he became a world changer. He stepped up to leadership. Now let me define leadership for this preaching. I want to use what Pastor Ferdy Kabiling, one of our bishops and the one who oversees our Metro Manila churches, how he defines leadership. He defines leadership as taking charge. He took charge. It doesn't matter where he was, but he's taking charge. And Josiah, since he was a king, his devotion and his faith, when he received it, he didn't remain with him. He took charge. You know what he did? He undid everything Manasseh, his grandfather, did. He removed the Asherah poles. He removed the vile practices, the ungodly worship practices. He removed that altar that takes the life of a young baby boy. He undid everything of that. And on top of that, he also did the Passover. The Passover wasn't celebrated for hundreds of years. But it was during his time when he says, no, we're obeying the law. We're obeying the word of God. We're going to do the Passover. The Passover basically is a reminder for the people of Israel that they got saved from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Nag-Passover si God. They're reminding themselves, uy, by grace lang kayo, ha? Kaya kayo naging tao ni Lord. And Josiah did that. There was never a king that became like Josiah. He stepped up to leadership. And here's why. All of us here, we have this devotion to God. That God is personal for us. But here's the thing. Though his faith was personal, it wasn't private. Your faith and my faith may be personal, but it wasn't private. It means that Jesus and his love and his grace should not just stop with us. It should also be experienced by other people. Minsan kasi parang, eh, baka ma-offend sila. No, that's what Christianity is. It may be personal, but it's not private. You see, some of us here, sinasabi siguro natin, Josiah is a king. Okay? He's in the position, he had everything going for him. But let me tell you this. This book, the Bible, is rustling with stories of how God used ordinary people from different ages for his great purposes. So if you're saying, I'm an ordinary person, I feel like I'm unqualified, good news, we belong to the same club. You see, the issue is not your position, but your disposition. Do you know that God could use you if you're willing? It doesn't matter how old you are. 13, 15, 20, 25, 35, from different ages and backgrounds. The question is, do you trust God that he will use you? That's why I'm so encouraged every time I hear stories like this. I hear stories of some students who are ordinary in every sense, but feels that they have this faith in God, they need to share it. They go out in faith and they start preaching the gospel to random people. And this is what we've been doing for months. We send students to go out there in the heat of the sun and talk to people who doesn't know about Jesus and share the gospel to them. There's this story actually. One time, group ng students nagpipray. And they felt like God told them to pray for the city hall, in the city hall. And the problem is Saturday ito. So sarado yung city hall. Try nila pumasok, pasok sila. Siyempre, pinigilan sila ng guard. Ah, sorry, ba't yung ginagawa niyo? Ganyan-ganyan. So, labas uli sila. They said, no, we really believe this is where God called us to pray for. So, they prayed. Then afterwards, they went in. Again, this time, sakto, meron tayo isang ka-churchmate dumating. Pinapasok sila. So, pinapunta sa department nila sa city hall. And these students preached the gospel to them. And some of them got saved. And here's a picture of that, actually. Nakapag-selfie pa. Diba? Preach the gospel. Another story. Two high school students, both girls, they felt God called them to pray for patients inside San Juan Medical Center, somewhere in Agora. Pasok sila dun. Sabi, pwede po ba kami pumasok? O, bakit ang gagawin nyo? Magpipray po. Paano yung pray? Bawal yan. So, labas sila uli. So, isip nila, tutuloy pa ba natin? No, they prayed and they felt like, no, this is where God told us to go. So, they went back again. So, sabi nila, baka pwede po pumasok. Ano bang, magpipray ba kayo? Sige na. Pinapasok, pinakit ang second floor. Pray sila ng mga patients. Yung problema, may dumating na isa pang guard. Nakita sila, anong ginagawa niyo dyan? Ano, nagpipray po. Nagpipray? O, ba't dyan lang? Punta pa kayo dito, third floor. Nakit pa sila sa taas. And they prayed, and they shared. These were ordinary students. Amazing. I see students do their own life groups. This is Brian. I met Brian, okay, from CJAS. Dati dalawa lang sa kanila kilala ko sa school. They got the vision. They realized, yes, it's personal, but it shouldn't stop there. He stepped up to leadership and he started his own life group. And now this is one of his life groups. It's actually growing really impressively. And maybe some of you have heard of Sophia, one of our campus leaders. She got to pray for our president. For some of us, pag nakita natin siguro si president or artista, baka gawin lang natin selfie. But for her, she knew that her faith isn't just about her. It's meant to be shared. So she stepped out in faith and prayed for the president. Not many of us had that opportunity. I got encouraged every time I hear students who took this personal devotion and use it publicly to make an impact. I remember Jeremy, the one who did tithes and offering. Jeremy realized he has a strong faith in God, but he knew that he shouldn't just be a leader in terms of a ministerial leader in school. He knew that he should bring this faith practically and apply it in his campus. So he ran for office and he won. And he is currently right now the president of the student assembly of the whole PUP San Juan. So when people see, anong meron ba dito? Ba't ibang klase to magtrabaho? And they would see, wow, he has Jesus in him. Every Friday, we have our youth services, 5 o'clock. The amazing thing about this is that this youth service is run almost by students. High school, mostly students. This is Ada. She just graduated. But she was leading the whole thing. She's just amazing. They were leading. They were really reaching out their generation by making sure everything's working. It's amazing how ordinary people who had this personal devotion stepped up to leadership and took charge. How did Josiah become a world changer? A personal devotion and leadership. The question is, how do we produce more game changers and world changers? And the answer to that is this: support the next generation. I want to take this time, if you're here and you've been supporting the next generation in any way, finances, prayer, time, sundot hatid ng mga anak nyo, we want to say thank you. It's worth it. Hindi lang po kita, parang long-term investment, but it's worth it. Support the next generation. You see, it's not obvious from the text, but I've read from one commentary that the reason why Josiah had this love for God and love for the nation is because of these two key people in his life. The first one was Shaphan, the temple scribe, imparted to him the love for the nation. The other one was Hilkiah, the high priest, imparted to him the love of God. They were supporting Josiah and setting him up for success. You see, every time I think about this, supporting the next generation, I get reminded of our key part as parents. Grabe, ito yung main part natin. We want to support the next generation. I'm thinking right now, how could I support Jedi? Okay, Jedi po yung name ng anak ko. And I always say that the force is strong on this one. Okay? How do I support Jedi? How do I build him up for success and let him fulfill God's purposes? But I'm encouraged in our church community when I see men who have gone ahead of me. I get encouraged kay Kuya Edward and Len Bonsai, one of our victory group leaders. This is just one of the stories of many of our leaders here. Managed to support their kids and raise them up. And both of their kids love Jesus, serves the next generation, and are excellent. One of them was Jaira, the one who was leading worship a while ago. The other one was Andrea. No, wala siya. Nandito ka. Ayun, nandun. Okay? The head of our tech ministry in youth. These people are passionate to reach out their generation, and they love God. I get reminded of Tita Emmy, who's there. I just want to commend this woman of God. Although she has years of experience in ministry, since she knew supporting the next generation is key and crucial for us, she lets the student lead. Sumasama po kasi si Tita Emmy sa atin sa pag-prayer walk, sa pag-evangelize, and she is a part of a team. Instead na siya yung ako na mag-lead, ako by virtue of tenure, ako na mag-lead. No, but she was so humble. She was saying, go ahead. High school student, imagine this. High school student is leading the group. And she's there. Okay, what could I do? Supporting the next generation. I'm so thankful of the young professionals here who are working already, who took a leave off, some of them without pay, joined us to our Empower Camp, and helped us minister to students. I get reminded of various young professionals saying, hey, what could I do to help you? What could I do to help the next generation? It's just amazing. Supporting the next generation to produce more game changers. That's why here in Every Nation Campus Green Hills, for the next 3 months, I want all of us here to, hopefully all of us here would jump in this. We would be doing, we would be focusing on one of our key parts, which is really discipleship. That's why we're going to have our life project. What's this? Basically, we're training the students for leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence through victory groups and one-to-one. I hope if you know any students, they will be a part of this. It's just amazing. We're going to have topics that will be relevant for them. Okay, not just faith, but really practical. With a couple of stories I'm about to end, one of which is that with Mayor Gia. Most of you are aware that we manage, as Every Nation Campus Green Hills, we went to Mayor Gia's office and we presented to her what we were doing as a campus ministry. And she liked it. We shared to her how it's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that would change the life of a person. So nag-round table discussion kami, nag-serve siya ng pagkain, nag-serve siya ng pizza, and we were discussing things over that. And she mentioned one story that really broke my heart. She went to the city jail, and she heard of a story of a grandmother on the third floor, imprisoned because she was a drug pusher and a drug user. On the second floor was her son and her son's wife, imprisoned also for pushing drugs and for using it. On the ground floor, yung apo nung lola at yung anak nung mag-asawa, imprisoned also for pushing drugs and using drugs. In short, the whole family is in the prison because of drug addiction and oppression. When I heard that, I was so mad. Gigigil ako. Sarap ganunin nung table. Kaya lang, dahil na kay Mayor, nakakaya, dinampot ko yung pizza. Okay. Kinain ko. Grabe, Mayor! Okay. Tita Emmy was there. Okay. So, but really, it really broke my heart. And I'm saying, I will not let, as long as I live, that I'm not doing anything to stop families from being broken, for stop young people for losing their destinies, for the campuses to just go on moral decay, for the nation to just slide to darkness. No, as long as I live, and I hope for all of us here, as long as we live, we won't stop and settle for something less. That's why in the next years, dito pa lang po sa hub natin. Part po kasi tayo ng Ortigas Metro East, Green Hills, Pioneer, Pasig, and Antipolo. As a hub, in the next years, we're going to strengthen and reach out to more places as well. In fact, for the past week, we've done our youth service in Fisher Mall, in Cubao. Why? It is our heart to reach more and more students. Because if we reach a family, a student, we reach a family as well. Dito po sa Green Hills mismo, Every Nation Campus Green Hills, pray with us, believe with us, rally and support with us, as next month we're believing to start a youth service in San Juan as well. Pray for us. We're stepping out in faith. We're also believing for campuses that are close to be open. We want to see and we want to saturate every campus in this city. So to summarize everything I've said, Josiah became a world changer because of his personal devotion. And he didn't keep it personal. He didn't keep it private. He stepped up to leadership and took charge. And everyone else was supporting him and empowering him. Hopefully we will do that. Let me close with this story. As I said, yesterday was our one conference. There were many highlights. Daming nangyari, daming mga revelation. But one highlight was this. Pastor CJ Nunag, our senior pastor in Victory U-Belt, went up and started praying for us. And while he was praying, he mentioned this story about him and Pastor Rice. You see, last 2008, same place, Ultra, Philippine Arena Ultra, we gathered 4,000 students. All in na po yun, buong Victory Metro Manila, 4,000 students, 2008. Now, 2016, 5,000 students, leaders and interns pa lang. Imagine the growth. 4,000 all in, 5,000 leaders and interns pa lang. And Pastor CJ was sharing this story to Pastor Rice. He asked this question, Pastor Rice, when you started Victory along with Pastor Steve, Did you imagine that this would grow like this? Nakikita mo ba na lalaki to ng ganito? And usually when we hear questions like that, ang usual na mga sagot eh, hindi ko nga inaasahan eh. Grabe si God na talaga. Hindi ko ine-expect na magiging successful. But I was humbled. I was rebuked by how Pastor Rice answered that. Sabi niya, he was asked, Pastor Rice, did you imagine that this would grow? Sabi niya, yes. Yes. Because that is the gospel. I got rebuked. Lord, oh nga, no? If we firmly believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying on the cross for our sins and rising again from the dead to save us from hell is the hope of our nation, is the hope of every broken heart, wouldn't you want this also to grow as well? And it's get me thinking, oh nga, no? Jesus, one hand judo move is just to make disciples. It will work. And I got rebuked. Oh, ano, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't see it this way. And I got reminded of the time that I'm believing God for. One day, Green Hills pa lang, San Juan pa lang, pupunuin na natin Phil Oil Arena. I'm believing for one day also that I would see here students with their families as well saying, Kuya, Pastor, ito po sila mama, papa, oh. Grabe yung 3 years ago, muntik na sila mag-iwalay. And I got, Lord, I'm so sorry. I gave up on that vision. I gave up on that mission. And maybe for some of you, you're giving up. I'm telling you, do not give up. If the gospel is true, it will work because it is the power of God for salvation for those who believe. Let me end with this verse. Acts 2. Verse 17, it says here, in the last days, it will be, God declares. Ibig sabihin, hindi nakikiusap si God. Sinasabi niya, He declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men dream dreams. Young people here, do you have a vision for your life? Is your vision just finishing a level in Dota or a game? Is your vision just filtering your faces in Snapchat? I'm telling you, there's a bigger vision in your life. You are meant for a purpose. You're meant to live righteousness. You have a purpose in your life. Do you have a vision? For the old people or the people who are more mature, Did you stop dreaming already? Did you say, wala na magagawa sa anak ko, ganito na lang talaga. Wala na talaga pag-asa yung bayan natin. Did you stop dreaming already? But you and I are not those people. You and I are the people who says, God, I want to see new things. God, I want to see visions once again. Lord, help me dream once again. Help me imagine once again what could happen if we raise up more and more and more game changers. Can we all stand up right now? And let's pray. Lord, right now, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, remind us once again of the reason why we are here. The reason why you saved us. The reason why we got saved. It's not just for us to go to heaven, but for us to make an impact. Can you just bow down our heads right now? If you are here and you're that person who has no vision or who stopped dreaming already in whatever ways, sa family nyo, sa business nyo, I want you to say sorry to God right now and say, God, I'm sorry for having no vision or for stopped dreaming. Give us a new vision again. Help me dream once more. Pray to God right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, move in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.